Virgin Radio.
Well, of course, rental housing, as we are very aware, at a crucial stage at the moment. So many people finding themselves homeless, which is just horrendous, as landlords, in some instances, move them on so as to receive higher rents. Joining us now to talk about this situation, there could be an answer to it, Steve Chandler, Property Development Director. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
How are you, Jenny?
I'm very good, thank you. I mean, for some of us, luckily, we're in a safe environment and we have a roof. So many don't, and they're the quiet majority, aren't they?
They certainly are. They don't get a voice.
No, it's not fair. And, well, they can't. There's no platform for them to get a voice. It's only some organisations, you know, that look after homelessness that are sort of making everyone aware. But there's no short-term solution to this, is there?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And what's happening in Australia at the moment is frightening from the affordability perspective. You know, we've got interest rates going up. House prices might have, you know, well, we know that throughout COVID, with effectively free money, with interest rates historically low, prices went through the roof. Interest rates are bringing that down now, but we've got a lot more people coming into Australia now that we've got our borders back open, and it's putting pressure on rentals.
Well,
it's scary.
It is more than scary. I mean, how terrifying for somebody whose lease is about to expire to get a notice to say you've got to leave here within a couple of weeks or whatever it might be, and they've got absolutely nowhere to get another rental.
Yeah, I know. That's, you know, we've got nationally, I think, from some of the things that have been said out there, it's down to less than 0.5%. Of the vacancy, well, 0.5% vacancy rate, and they say 3% is a healthy vacancy rate for a healthy market. It just means people cannot move. You can't take a new job in a different area, you know, to try and get more money because you don't know if you're going to be able to rent a place.
Well, Steve, you've been in the business, large-scale construction, and, you know, 20 years, actually, in property development. You would never have seen anything like this, would you?
No, this is the most, you know, over the last couple of years, I would say from a developer's perspective, it's been the hardest time ever to try and put a development together and to make it profitable. You know, we are about making profit, and it's very difficult to do that with construction prices going through the roof, the property prices, the house prices, the land that we have to acquire to develop apartments was going up and up and up. So everything was going up, but apartment prices and townhouse prices were relatively flat. And that means that, you know, our costs were getting higher. There was no profit in a development. Therefore, we don't create a product. And we don't create a product, it means if you've got more people coming into the country, more demand, and what happens to prices?
It's a perfect storm, isn't it, really?
It's absolutely scary. It really is. Yeah. It really is.
What can you see, though, for the future? Short term, really. This is the urgent part of it.
Yeah, look, short term, we've got labour shortages, which are, you know, causing half the problems in the construction industry. Skilled labour is a real problem. But when you bring skilled labour in from overseas, it puts demand on our housing.
Exactly.
It's a circular argument. I don't know how the industry is really going to address this. It's one of those things where we have to have... I don't know that government support through, you know, grants and things like that for, you know, first homeowners, et cetera, putting demand for housing will help the market. I believe that developers need to be able to create a cheaper product, not a cheaper quality product,
that's right,
but a more cost-effective product. I see the future being really reliant a lot upon modular forms of construction.
Yeah.
This is prefabrication in warehouses and then craning completed units into position. To make, you know, get better quality control and faster building time so we can get product into the market for people to live in.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I remember the tilt-ups. We saw it happening 20 years ago a little bit, not in residential so much as in factory units and that sort of thing. And it sort of stopped, you know, and really we have a mentality of this double brick here in the West, this double brick situation, and perhaps we have to start to move on from that. Just talking Western Australia at the moment.
Yeah, but I think it's everywhere, Jenny. I really do, because if we want this full brick scenario, but it's expensive.
Yeah.
So we go to brick veneer, and brick veneer is thermally inefficient. So what do? We fire up the air conditioners and
More power.
You know, burn power. It's just, we've got this horrible sort of, our whole building ideology is not good. And we also want this really big house, or big apartment, or big townhouse. We want space, and we've got to pay for it, and we've got to condition the air in it. We as Australians really need to think about what it is that's important to us.
Yeah, and the future,
And the future, absolutely.
Now, it's interesting that you're touching on the huge demand that's coming up for build-to-rent, or build-for-life sort of thing. And as a matter of fact, that's exactly what I've turned to. And I'm finding it wonderful.
Have you?
Yes. I downsized.
Tell me more.
Well, I downsized. I had the big 4x2 and swimming pool and picking up leaves and all that sort of thing four years ago nearly now. And this concept was just introduced here in WA. And, of course, it's been very popular in America and London, and for many, many, many years it's been very successful. And for people that don't realise is that it's a one strata building, and it's a four-level one that I happen to be in. But there are others being built, you know, on the coastline and everywhere. So if you are accepted in, if you're not too bad, if you're allowed to come in, it is fantastic. You haven't got rates, you haven't got levies, you have maintenance 24 hours a day, you have coffee 24 hours a day, you have entertainment, you have all sorts of fabulous things. Very community-minded.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, the question really comes down to the affordability, what people can afford.
Yeah.
You know, if you can get yourself into a nice position like that, that's fantastic. If you've got one of the things about build to rent that we're seeing throughout the market is over the last sort of 10 years, while most of the larger scale developers have been trying to make it viable, compared to overseas they have different taxation systems, etc., which make it more viable, profitable for a developer to undertake. In Australia, with a different tax system, it makes it very hard for a developer to make money, so they tend not to. But now that we've got such high rents,
That's right,
it's giving the developer the opportunity to turn it into viability, you know, making it viable, because they're getting more money out of the development. And there's a lot more developers at the moment who are turning to build to rent to say, well, I'm going to invest in this and create these lifestyle buildings for people to rent from them, you know, in perpetuity. And it's slightly cheaper for a builder to develop that, because you don't have all of the individual fire compartmentization of the apartments.
Yeah.
You can do things on bulk. And for a developer, it creates a lifestyle, and they get people to move in. And once people move in, the idea is that they love where they live, all the facilities, the services, and they stay for a long time.
That's exactly what's happening. And I've had 4 years to sort of experience it and question it in my own mind. I had advice before I went in, and it's just worked out to be terrific, because people now, especially in WA, and it's always been in Sydney, Melbourne, a lot of people live in a city and close to amenities. And, of course, all the facilities are in every suburb now. Your streets are full of hospitality outlets, and, you know, parks. I overlook a beautiful park and a stream and a lake, and it's just lovely. And it is, you're right, you know people more. In the outer suburbs, you tend to go into your garage, sit in your backyard, and don't get to know your neighbours that well.
Yes, yep, absolutely. You know, it's interesting, we talk about that. There's with getting to know your neighbours, for people who are struggling to pay their rent, etc., and who have to move into the co-living type of spaces, that's what we sort of more commonly know as boarding houses. They provide you know, small scale homes with community facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So even for people who are on the, you know, who are unskilled labour, who are having troubles to make ends meet, there is an answer for them as well. And these co-living spaces can provide that community.
Yeah, true.
And it's something that is really important in our, you know, in our society, mm-hmm. that people spend time with other people.
Oh, truly, yeah. We're finding, you know, that. The sort of urban sprawl has become, it's fine when you first have your first home that you can afford to buy out there, but you have to have the infrastructure and you know, people don't want to, developers don't want to have to provide all of that expense, do they?
Well, some developers do because that's what they do for a living. And, yeah. You know, so land subdivision and, you know, I just don't believe in land subdivision because urban sprawl to me is one of the worst things that we can do, even though I'm sort of the older generation that is not supposed to sort of care about the environment like the younger generation. My view is why do we keep pushing out and out and out and out and out
exactly.
when we can go up? We don't destroy the environment around us, so it keeps us green, and we use utilising the existing infrastructure to a much better rate.
That's what we're learning.
It seems common sense.
Well, it's taken a long time, I think, Steve, and I think, you know, the COVID situation creating the lack of rentals and people questioning about their future, where they live and that sort of thing, is sort of, people have to think outside the square, don't they?
They certainly do. And now that we've got the working from home scenario happening, people now need very good spaces at home to work in.
That's right. And conveniences, you know, within walking distance, that's what I find. It's just fabulous.
Yeah, definitely.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Well, Stephen, thank you very much. You have to keep us up to date on what's going on out there in the real estate world.
Would love to. Just give me a call anytime, Jenny.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you indeed. That was Stephen Chandler.